Mini Babybel Light. Perfect for when you want to satisfy your cravings without compromising on taste. High in protein and 47% less fat than Mini Babybel Original, Mini Babybel Light is the ultimate snack to add to your new routine in 2023. Start your new year the right way with Mini Babybel Light.
Even though this year has been batshit crazy, the bar of like chaos, uncertainty, and all of that garbage has become so high that it's forced us as humanity to collectively cope. Hey.
So we have Antonio here today, you guys. Welcome.
Welcome, Antonio.
Thank you for coming. Getting a little cold outside. We got a little like post-election anxiety going.
Yeah, but you got the stockings though.
I know. Let me say, I'm early in the seasons, you guys. Tis the season. Once Halloween's over, costumes are over. I was the Grinch, so I was like ready to rumble like way before Halloween.
You guys looked good. That was
Sophie's was way too on point.
It was. I tried too hard, and you actually killed it for just putting some green eyebrows on.
Let me tell you though, those eyebrows—they got in my eye. I had like 6 green hairs in my eye. They burn.
Oh,
they're like chemical. They're not real hair.
Yeah, not ideal.
Not ideal at all.
But yeah, so it's so weird that it was like 70 degrees the other day, and now you have your stockings up, and it's snowing outside.
I know, and I have twinkle lights with them too.
So strange. But yeah, Antonio. So we're having you on today because we want to talk about, we're going to continue the conversation around mental health. Me and Sid actually just recorded a podcast about our personal experience with anxiety. So I know you are a mental health advocate, especially in the male realm. So I think that'd be kind of cool to have you on speak to it. But first, I guess we're kind of want to catch up. So I know you because how do I know you? I always try to figure it out. I'm like, what? How do we go back?
So God, what year was it? 2016, maybe 2017.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds about right.
We met because the coffee company that I invested in, Busy Coffee.
Oh, okay.
We were doing like photo shoots. And at the time, one of the interns was your friend at St. Thomas.
What was him?
Kristen.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And we were doing a bunch of shoots and stuff, and she recruited you for a shoot, and then we just hit it off and stayed in touch. Yeah. Literally, it feels like we like can go months without talking, but like we also stay in touch, you know, randomly. Yep. Or like
I was just gonna say that it's like you're like one of those friends that I know is like always there for me, and I know that you're always there for me, and we go a while without talking, but then we like pick back up right where we left off. So I appreciate that as a friendship with you.
You've like stayed, Sophie. Like when I think of Sophie, it's like you've stayed ever since I met you the first time. I feel like over the years, like that's something I've appreciated about you.
That's
and
so
I'm
funny.
Excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're about to have the same thing as Sid.
How do we know each other, Antonio? Oh, wait, we don't. Yeah. We met today and I had to be on a work call until like literally the moment he came and we started recording. So sorry about that. But
okay, I've been there.
I'm hyped to hear your story and continue our conversation because it's really important and it's huge in our time that we're even in right now.
Yeah.
Especially with the election. Mm-hmm. I know we kind of touched to that, but
yeah. What's your, okay. The reason why I don't want to talk a lot of politics with you today, I want to talk mostly mental health, but I really appreciate, for example, when I need to know about the news and I need to know an objective point of view, I go to your story because I feel like you're not one side or the other. You kind of have, a good stance in terms of what was happening with the election.
Both sides.
Yeah. So what's your take on the election? How do people accept the fact that Joe Biden is now our president? I don't know. Just talk on it a little bit because I appreciate your objective view.
More so, I mean, you don't need to include your opinion and anything of that sort. But like, how do people, if maybe this wasn't the way they wanted it to go, or maybe it's not exactly the way, even if they wanted Biden to win, how do we just kind of accept and move on and like get that anxiety out of our bodies that we've been experiencing for the past many months? Or 4 years, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, in general, I appreciate what you just said. It's intentional with what I do and what I put out in the world. I try to not be super over opinionated about a lot of things, and try to just seek out clarity and answers. But But when it comes to this election and the anxiety, like I felt it too. Like it was palpable in the last couple of weeks, even the whole month of October, honestly, with leading up to the election. You couldn't go to the grocery store without feeling, you know, like I'm assuming you guys are empaths as well. Like I'm a huge empath, and you go to the grocery store and you're in line and
can you pause? Empath? Can you explain?
Like, are you someone who's like empathetic and like you feel a lot? Like you walk into a room and you're like immediately altered by energy.
Yes. A little slang word.
I feel like the more aware and almost ADHD and like hyper aware you are, the more empathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Empathetic you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good slang word. Yeah. But yeah, you go to the grocery store and you can't help but feel the anxiety. And I think with the biggest thing with the election that I always tell people is, number one, the media and social media specifically likes to make you feel like you have, like the president is like right there, mm-hmm. and it's going to control your life and it's going to dominate everything you do.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's like so far removed, and it's not even worth the energy, like letting all of that baggage from the media, from mm-hmm. your Thanksgiving dinners and crazy uncles spewing stuff. Like it's not worth altering your energy. It's because you don't have that much control over it.
Yep.
You literally have no control.
Yeah. Nope. You put your vote in and that's all you can do.
That's the biggest step you can take in it.
And that's like, and I'm sure we'll get into it today. Like that's like a big thing that I always preach is this idea of understanding what you do have control over and what mm-hmm. you don't. And the election was this whole year, honestly, with COVID, with the election, was one giant and still is one giant experiment around like the understanding what we have control over and what we don't.
Yeah.
And great. Learning how to let go.
When you say that. Just letting go, how it's easier said than done though. Like the COVID is affecting me. Like the election definitely affected me. And it's hard to just be like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to let go. Like, how do you go about just being like, this is not my control. I feel better now. Poof, it's gone.
Yeah. It's never just poof. Yeah. This is where I always get into like, and I do these Lululemon events every month with around mental health. And we talk about building a mental health toolkit.
Oh,
and mm-hmm. cause it's not just like an overnight thing.
Yeah.
Like it being able to let go and even be able to bring awareness to like what you have control over and what you don't takes skill, and it takes practice to build that level of awareness mm-hmm. and patience. So it doesn't just happen overnight, but the good thing is you can 100% start practicing that skill.
Yeah.
Right. Like there are free tools. There are things that you can do every single day, every morning to start to like, it's like working out, like flex that
muscle.
I
remember you telling mm-hmm. me that one time.
It is. And it's not a one-step process. Can I ask you something just from your opinion?
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that people don't take that first step into like pursuing help for their mental health on their own?
A lot of reasons. I think the taboo thing is one. I mean, it's such like there's like that stigma there where,
yep.
you know, we're all, I'm assuming 90s babies, and like we weren't taught how to deal with this stuff.
No.
And so when you're a kid, and like for me, I was, you know, first felt real anxiety when I was like going to school for the first time. You know, that terrible like feeling you have in your stomach. Yeah. And it's
How young were you, do you think?
Let's see, this was like, I was like probably 4 or 5 years old.
You remember it that far back?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you have these moments where, you know, and we'll get into it, but like with the school thing, I can trace it all the way back to then. Like when you're a kid and you are terrified to go to school and you don't really know why, because like it's not like the school did anything to you, but it's just like this haunting thing of like going in with all these strangers, leaving your mom behind. That is something that leaves like a print on you in your mind. And I think that when we're kids and we have experiences like that, and they're not discussed, and we're not taught how to like cope with that, it gets buried and we immediately think that there's something wrong with us. Yeah. Or, and so I think with, so I was like a little long-winded answer to your question, but I think a big thing for people is just that stigma of not knowing how to talk about it, not mm-hmm. knowing how to navigate it, and thinking that if they bring it up to somebody or if they tell their friend that they went to therapy, mm-hmm. that they're going to get looked at weird.
Yeah. Actually, so this is going to be a nice segue into our candid cues.
Perfect transition.
So we have we have people ask us questions. And I actually have someone very close to me who wrote in, he's a male, a question about something that you just talked about, actually. So maybe you can talk on it more. But he wrote in and said, I'm a junior in college, and this is the first time I've experienced mental health issues. I know I need help, but I'm hesitant on talking to my guy friends about it, and I'm scared to go to the counseling center as I attend a very small school and afraid people will see me. Why do I feel embarrassed? This message in itself is embarrassing, but I'll take any help I can get. Any tips?
Yeah, I think... And this is a huge challenge for a lot of kids. And this is something that I speak to a lot too. A lot of times what people don't realize is the second that you start to vocalize something that you're dealing with internally, you actually realize that you're giving other people an opportunity to relate to you in a different way.
Right.
And so although you might have this idea in your mind that, if I bring this up, my friends are going to judge me or think I'm goofy. But actually, I'm guessing that a lot of times it's the opposite.
Yeah. Opening up the floor.
A lot of times it's for that person, I would say, have a conversation with your friends. Be like, hey guys, I'm actually dealing with some stuff. Mm-hmm. You might find that two of the other buddies are going to be like, dude,
same.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And so it takes a little courage, but what I tell people is just lean into it, and mm-hmm. and you will find it's also a great way to find out who in your life is really valuable too.
Because
if you bring up that you're struggling and someone laughs at you, fuck that person.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They're not your real friends then.
No, really not. Do you have a suggestion, just a simple suggestion for a time when that would make the most sense? To give somebody some ease, would it be when you're playing video games with your buddy in the room or something, or you're passing at some point? Is there any, can you think of any off the top of your head times that would make sense or give someone an ease of mind to think about?
Yeah. I mean, I was always a big fan of family dinners.
Oh yeah.
In college and stuff. And mm-hmm. those are always a great time.
And maybe two of your closest friends.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be your whole guy friend group or something. Yeah. Could be two of your closest friends that you trust and just bring it up to them. And honestly, I feel even this person's afraid to go to the counseling center. Maybe think about right now, think of all the virtual visits you can do with maybe a therapist or something, where you can be at your own room, door closed, and you can still get help that way. You don't have to, there's other ways around it. So I think getting help and talking about it is definitely going to be the most important thing for that person. So
I think the worst part is just the steps up to saying it out loud to someone. Mm-hmm. I think it's that internal feeling that you have, even to just say it to someone out loud.
Yeah.
And even referencing to his counselor or not wanting to go to the counselor. I did that same thing junior year of college.
I did too in college, and it was small.
Mine wasn't small, but in that area it was, you see people passing all the same exact mm-hmm. times every single mm-hmm. day. And I remember going and literally going in the room and I'm like, I don't know really why I'm here. I just feel like I need to be here, and I don't know. I can't calm down.
Yeah.
And someone talked to me, and that first step, even though I didn't end up staying there and doing that counseling, was mm-hmm. the first step to a million steps of actually getting started. Exactly. So it's you just got to get started. Like you said, grab a few small groups of people and get over mm-hmm. that hump of the conversation.
Awareness is number one step for sure.
And I was going to say for us to say this, it is, I mean, I will say women deal with this as well, but men, there's definitely a stigma behind it. And that's why I think it's cool to have Antonio here, because you're a normal, cool dude and you've dealt with this. So let's dive into your past and, just give us a little bit of your history, when it started, what you did, first steps you took.
Cause I mean, and I know we've had people write in about this, but just helping, what's the full circle? What was it that maybe caused it, or when you first felt it? First felt anxiety or whatever mental health that you feel, and then that kind of transition into what you do now. How did it change? How did you make that first step into changing your life? I want to hear your background from you.
Yeah. So I think that everybody has these anchoring facets to them that really define who they are as people. And for me, every time I introduce myself to a new person, so I am with you right now, mm-hmm. I always bring up the fact that I'm adopted, and my adoption shapes everything that I do in life, and for better or for worse. And what I mean by that, there's a lot of studies out there around adoption where there's abandonment and trust issues. And for me, the fear of abandonment is like my number one thing. It's mm-hmm. always affected me in relationships. It's affected me in other ways as well. And I think that literally it starts with the fact that, so when I was adopted from Paraguay, my like first event in this world was being like separated from my mother.
Yeah.
And then it's crazy that like my parents now, when they came to adopt me, they actually had to like, they like signed papers and they had to go back to the United States and they couldn't take me and they had to come back and get me for some reason.
Oh my
gosh. So I was left twice.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't really until this year actually that going through some like relationship trauma that I really dug deep into it and like learned about attachment styles and mm-hmm. my adoption is like
the core
of my anxiety. Cause for me, it's like, it's never been a battle with depression. It's always been anxiety.
Yeah.
Like I'm never really dwelling on the past that much. I'm always like preoccupied with the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me. So like, I think I always start with adoption. And then there's like when you're like, actually can remember, I don't know how old you are when you like start
like remembering
things, but like for me it was like preschool and stuff.
Yeah, early. Wow.
Yeah, and those times of like going to school, and I'm sure there's something there with being separated from my mom too.
Yeah,
and
it must be
being going to school and that anxiety of like being in a new environment for the first time and being without your parents. That's when I started to get like that sick feeling in my stomach at a really young age. And then I think that
very
just
very familiar with that feeling.
Yep, the, yeah. the roller coaster stomach yeah. is how I like to think about it.
Yeah. It's not fun.
No, not at all.
And then over the years, like there were like some happy years. I mean, I'm a relatively happy guy, yeah. but like there were some glory days from preschool till I was probably a teenager. But then like, the teenager years, the anxiety picked up again.
Mm-hmm.
And as naturally as it does, you know, being a teenager. And for me, it really wasn't actually until college that it got really bad. Like mm-hmm. my anxiety got so bad that, and even post-college, that I would have really bad panic attacks.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I must have had a horrible one at some point in college where, or post-college, where like I must have blacked out or don't even remember, but like it must have left something on me mm-hmm. where,
wow.
Because for me, like from there, and for those who don't maybe haven't had a panic attack.
Yeah, since like, can you explain like your panic attack kind of in detail a little bit? So, and I know this is a little like,
it's intense.
But people are kind of wondering, you know, I bet people are curious if they haven't experienced one or if maybe what they are experiencing is a panic attack. So
yeah, well, it shows up in different ways for a lot of people. So I'm curious to hear from you guys mm-hmm. on yours as well. But
yeah.
for me, it's like, it's the sweaty palms thing. It's the rapid heartbeat. It's like the shallow breathing. That's like the shallow breathing is like, I know I'm
yeah.
going downhill. And then the worst of it, like my biggest nemesis is nausea.
Okay.
Like feeling nauseous and feeling like I have to throw up. And like, then that spirals into like, oh my God, if I'm in a public place and I have to puke, like where am I going to go?
Right.
And so that has led to like, I'm not like claustrophobic, but like sometimes say I'm on like an airplane or something, and you know, when you're like, it feels like you're on an airplane for like 10 days before they take off.
Cause what happens if you have one in the air?
So it's like, there's stuff like that.
That's my same freaking paranoia
last time.
Yeah.
It's so severe. Once they say the doors are locked, prepare for takeoff, I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to either calm myself down or I'm going to have a panic attack because I'm like, doors are closed. What if I have a panic attack on here? I can't get off for X amount of time because I know it's going to be 4 hours to my destination. So,
and it's not even that you're afraid of the flight.
No.
You're just afraid of not being, having an escape.
Yeah. I can't get off. It's like a control piece, which you can probably attest to too.
For sure. Yeah. And so for me, it's the nausea thing. And that's like, I've spent years trying to figure out how to grapple with that.
Yeah.
And I always wonder like, if something happened to me again as a kid
mm-hmm.
where like, I remember there was like stupid things where like, there was one time I had like two hot dogs at a Gopher hockey game and then like, like puked and, and like when you're a kid and you throw up, it's such a miserable, oh no, the mic went off.
Did it?
Did it? Oh, maybe we bumped something here. Let me see.
It's all good.
Technical difficulties. Can you hear us now? Keep tracking.
Still
nothing?
No, we're good.
You can hear it?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. Hear you.
Okay. So a hot dog.
Yep. We're back.
We're back, baby. We're back with the hot dog story.
Jeez. No more hot dogs. Where was I going with that?
You were talking about
The embarrassment of
how
puking.
How that brings you back to the nausea piece and how. What was that, Andrew?
What's Andrew's saying stuff in the background? It definitely shows up. Like the worst panic attacks I have are nausea, and like I'll be sitting, and it's like the starts with the sweaty palms. Then it's like I don't know if you can relate to this, but it's like the catastrophic thinking starts it's like. You know, let's use the airplane example for an example. So like you're sitting on the airplane, the doors close and you are fine. Everything's great.
Yep.
And all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like this little demon comes in your mind and just plops this thing. And it's like, what if you had a panic attack?
Oh, that's exactly.
And it's like, fuck, I was literally like, fine. Like why did, and yeah. Then that just like opens the door and spirals into all, so. What I've been doing in the past couple of years has just been like learning and figuring out and talking to therapists and all that to figure out how to identify before it gets really out of hand.
Like before the actual spiral or before that thought pops in.
Yeah.
Cause it's, for me, it's like that thought's coming either way, whether I've controlled it in the situation or not, it's going to come.
So. Yeah. And you can't control that either. Like
no.
It's not even worth it. Like the thoughts are going to come in your brain. But like what I've been able to do over the years is like really dive into like meditation and mindfulness.
Oh yeah.
And what that does is it allows you to create a level of awareness that you just weren't taught how to build.
Yeah.
And so you are able to catch that thought like before you spiral into the nausea and all that, like you're able to like see the thought, because like you can't stop the thought from coming because it's gonna come,
right?
But what you can do is be like, okay, you're here now, I don't have to engage with you. Like I can actually just like let you go by,
kind of float by
and you're good.
I acknowledge you, I recognize you, but get the hell out of
but
my head.
We're not doing this. We're not having a heart attack on the plane, because that's that feeling that
is
comes.
This similar to, because I've done a lot of like anxiety research for treatments. Is this similar to like cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT? Do you know what that's like identifying? Do you know what that is?
Yes, I've never done
that. I've heard it's helpful. So I'm curious about it, but.
I've heard good things, but I think almost in that sense, it even sounds more like
sounds
doctoral.
More science-y.
And like, yeah, science.
But I think to do with just catching your thought before it comes, recognizing it and learning how to condition yourself to like get it out of the way. So maybe it has to do with mindfulness too.
Mm-hmm. It must.
But we definitely want to dive into meditation and mindfulness, because I think that is helpful. I struggle with it. I struggle with doing it. I know Sid does it. But how do you go about someone who's never meditated before? Tell us how to do it.
And maybe add in there, how did you decide that meditation was going to be your whatever step it is? Maybe it's the first step. Maybe it's the 25th step to helping your anxiety.
Yeah. For me, meditation came in my life when I was at like rock bottom with my mental health journey.
What age were you? Do you know?
This was probably back in, let's see what year. This is post-college. So I was probably like 22, 23.
What did your life look like right there? Just like, why was it rock bottom, if you don't mind us asking?
I think, to be honest, I actually think a lot of it had to do with my diet.
Oh, okay.
And like, that's a whole other, have a whole podcast around gut health, but like, yeah, I think my diet, and then like post-college, not really kind of being in like limbo a little bit. I think that led me to just like, my anxiety was like through the roof, and I had all those panic attacks. And once you have, say you have like 4 in a week, then it's like, you're deathly afraid.
Was that average for you?
Not necessarily. It came in like waves for me.
You. When you become afraid like that too, they tend to spark more. Like when you let that fear instill in your brain, it's almost as if it's like a free will of like, pop in my brain, I'm going to have one no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're afraid of it. You
for
become,
sure.
It's a fear. So,
Yeah. And so I just started like doing research and like reading books and looking into like, okay, how do you like start to master your mind? Because this is clearly a mental thing. It's in your brain. What can I even do? And I found meditation. And actually, like, my advice to anyone who like is maybe struggling to start, because it is a little overwhelming and it's kind of like sounds like hippie nonsense sometimes, yeah. But it's actually not. It's really great.
Hippie nonsense. I love it.
But my advice would be to, because really what you're doing with meditation is you're just cultivating presence and awareness. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And you're practicing building that muscle. And with, you can do that simply by, like, how I started actually was you'd throw on your favorite song, close your eyes, put your phone away or whatever, like put the headphones in and literally just like be with the music, yeah, for like 3-4 minutes. Then you realize after 4 minutes, holy shit, I'm not even like stressed about what I was, yeah, even thinking about before that. And it's floating, like this mini meditation. Mm-hmm. And then you start to like really fall in love with that idea of like, it's almost like giving yourself permission to escape from, mm-hmm, the phone. Or side note, have you guys seen Social Dilemma?
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It scares me.
Very, yeah, intense.
But you need to get away from that phone every now and then.
Yeah.
They're listening to you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's, you start to give yourself these little like moments like that in your day. And then when you're ready, there are like plenty of good apps out there, like Headspace and Calm. And the one that I actually got into was the Waking Up app by a guy named Sam Harris.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Me either.
Yeah.
Waking Up.
Yeah. Okay. And he has this like 50-day introduction thing,
oh,
where,
wow,
you meditate, oh, every day, like 50 days straight.
How long?
Like 10 minutes.
Okay. Doable. 10 minutes out of your 24-hour day.
Yeah. And so I started with that. And that's, yeah, like what really got me into it. And I've, mm-hmm, been doing it ever since. And then the beauty of meditation is it introduces mindfulness to, mm-hmm, your life. So sometimes people get those confused.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the difference?
So like meditation is like the practice of, it's like the actually like sitting or like building that, mm-hmm, awareness and cultivating that
the
awareness.
Action.
And mindfulness, think of mindfulness like endurance.
Yeah.
So, okay, it's like meditation is like hit class or,
mm-hmm,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Doing the workout.
Or going for a run. And then mindfulness is the endurance, like the mental endurance, yeah, that you build.
I love how you bring all these workout analogies into this, because me and Sid are really into that. So it's, mm-hmm, it is true. It's like you're working out your brain when you meditate. So if you can find 45 minutes a day to do a HIIT workout, maybe try to use 10 minutes and do a mind workout, you know?
Yeah, that, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is exactly why, like, back in January of 2020, well, actually December of 2019, I approached Lululemon when they opened up their new store at the Mall of America. And I said, like, how cool would it be to do like a monthly mental health event?
Yeah.
And just create a space for it. And in that process, I really developed this kind of thesis, but like this like framework and theory around mental health. And like, I fundamentally believe that the industry is in dire need of a rebrand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And how I explain it to people at these events is like, you know, I was an athlete growing up. I love sports. I love working out. And for me, like if you played sports or if you go for runs or you're like a yoga person, like if you do anything wellness related, mm-hmm, you can easily translate that over to the mental health thing. Like, I think that nutrition and the fitness, and like those two industries, nutrition and fitness, are so massive, like, yeah, rightfully so, like they're great.
Huge.
But mental health is like this, like, took a back seat to both, yeah, of those. When in reality, if you look at this like trifecta of wellness, like nutrition, fitness, and like mental health is like, should be a huge pillar in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not. And so what I do at these events is we start to introduce it to people in a way similar to fitness, like,
yeah,
like I just gave the analogy around like the HIIT class and then endurance, like, and like when you even think about this year, like this year is one giant marathon of like building mental endurance,
seriously,
or at least an opportunity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually full circle back to your election question.
Bring it back.
I think on election day, if I remember, I posted something because like naturally I'm like, okay, I usually say things and like I have to say something on election day. Because
I checked your story. I was like, okay, he's the president. Better check Antonio's so, story.
Get the facts.
But what I decided to say was I wanted to give people the peace of mind that even though this year has been batshit crazy, we've all collectively like risen, like we've, the bar of like chaos, uncertainty and all of that garbage has become so high that it's forced us as humanity to collectively cope.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that everyone did it well, but what I do believe and what I want to believe is that a lot of people will walk out of this year realizing that their tolerance level for uncertainty.
We built our tolerance up as a society.
For sure.
100%.
Which is something to be proud of, and it's something to see as a silver lining in this crazy year.
Yeah, it is definitely a silver lining.
That's a great outlook, honestly. Yeah, that's a great positive outlook for what the shit that's been happening in this year. So props to you for bringing that. I didn't read that, actually. I should have. I missed that one.
Was that in the story too?
Yeah.
I want me to follow you.
Yeah.
What would you say for somebody who's struggled getting into, just bringing it back to meditation? Because that sounds like that's your major piece of how you treat and kind of get over your anxiety, so to speak, in the time. What's something that somebody can do just every day to even like make that a habit, or like what's the first step? Just like, do you suggest people just toss in the music and go for it and attempt that? Or
that's the only way I've meditated.
Yeah.
And I think you told me about it like a couple years ago even, and that's what I do. I listen to her, H-E-R.
Yeah.
She's got a chill voice. Throw the music in and I just sit back and like really listen. Her voice is just a little raspy. It's so good.
See, I never learned. The reason I'm so curious is because I never learned to do it with music, and I feel like I had to go over that hump of like have to sit in my own silence and just learn how to be okay with it. And that was kind of an odd feeling for me, and it is for a lot of people. I think that's why they don't jump into it. But if you make it as simple as listening to your favorite song and closing your eyes, I feel like meditation is tangible, and that's kind of what we're trying to get at. It's like you can take steps to make yourself feel better. You're a living example of this.
Yeah, it's 100% accessible, and that's what I like to tell everybody that I talk to about it. And I think the thing that keeps me up at night and haunts me is like suicide rates and all that, where I think about especially all these kids that are out there feeling like, I never want anyone in my life to feel trapped or to feel alone.
Right, yeah.
And we often turn towards that when we feel like there's nothing within our reach that we can do to get ourselves out of whatever situation we're in. But the reality is, at any moment, like even in the midst of your panic attack, you can 125% access like the ability to like walk your way out of this crazy monster situation, this that you've
mindful
got
situation you have.
So like your daily routine, do you meditate when you wake up, middle of the day? Like, is it every day?
I highly recommend in the morning.
Okay.
Like right when you wake up or with your coffee, or what do you think?
So I'll give you guys a little tip.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
We love some tips.
Yes. So I recommend doing this exercise called morning pages.
Oh.
So what it is, what?
Sorry. We just keep looking at each other because we just had a podcast on anxiety, and we're wondering some of the tips you give if something that we've done in the past too. So. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So this thing called morning pages, what it is if you have a journal, which I recommend everyone get a journal.
Hell yeah.
It's you first thing in the morning, maybe brush your teeth or whatever. But like after that,
maybe
sit down,
maybe brush your teeth.
Savage. You sit down and you actually fill 3 pages, just stream of consciousness writing. So it doesn't need to look a certain way. It literally doesn't need to make sense. Okay. Sometimes I write, I don't know what I'm writing. But what it does is it's decluttering your brain.
Okay.
So if you've ever had days where you hit like 3 p.m. and it's like, oh God, like brain fog and get all this stuff in your mind where it feels like it's going a million miles an hour. When I started doing morning pages, I realized that like I had so much clarity throughout my day. It's like I had more room because I had like flushed the toilet of my brain in the morning of like all the junk, where I would go about my day and I to this day experience this where I'm just way more mindful and I'm just more like kind of chill and just like able to like, like I'm looking at your kitchen right now and I'm able to like appreciate the Subway tile that you have in your kitchen. Like I'm able to like do that and just like sit there and be like, that's really nice. Whereas like a lot of people, they, first of all, I don't recommend having this next to your bed when you go to bed.
Cell phone.
Yeah. Cell phone.
Gotta work on that one.
I think I started putting my phone in my living room now. And so like, cause a lot of times people will wake up and they'll immediately go to the phone, do the Instagram thing.
Even in the middle of the night too, which is a horrible habit. Horrible. And your brain is just right back to being awake.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you don't do that, and then start your day with flushing the system out, that will do wonders. Yeah. Highly, highly recommend trying it for like 2 weeks. Give yourself like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
Just do it. Okay. Be disciplined.
Only takes 21 days to make a habit.
Yeah. And you'll realize that, again, you'll feel like way more clarity. Mm-hmm. And then, so I do that and then I work out and then I meditate.
Okay. Right. In that order, right in the morning.
Yeah. I've tried, like, again, with morning routines, people can get overwhelmed and some people are super regimented and like type A and like really like that. I'm definitely not like that. So for me, morning routines are all just about like the bare bones, the foundation, and less is more. Like, what are the things that are really going to move the needle? And like, for me, it's flushing the system, moving the body, and then like grounding myself before I go into the day.
I love that. I love those that you point out. You know, something that I've heard too in those is that when you feel like you have to be doing something though, like do you feel like you have to do those things as like almost like, does it ever become a chore is what I'm saying? Because sometimes when I was giving myself these tasks, my to-dos for the day, I don't think I was doing them at the right time. And it actually started creating more anxiety because I was like, if I don't write down my 3 grateful things that I'm, you know, the things I'm grateful for every day, I'm not a good person. I'm like, oh my God, I need
failed,
to get to it.
And now I'm anxious. Yeah, I'm anxious. I didn't do my,
I didn't get to it. List. I'm like, I didn't get to it. Do you ever feel like it becomes like that? Or is it just become so much of your mindfulness for the day that it just feels right?
Well, I got a couple of answers to that. I think, I'm trying to think which one to start with.
I know, sorry, I ramble and I get so many thoughts that I just have to spill the beans.
We ask one question, then Sid's like, and then what about this?
I want to know. Keep it coming. So for me, what I recommend is, because what it sounds like is, that happened to me too. And it happened when I wasn't doing stuff in the morning or wasn't giving myself enough time. So what would happen is I would sleep in or whatever, and then I would have that like morning routine. But the problem is that morning routine was like bumping up right against like my first meeting of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get anxious. It would feel like rushed and like just not a good feeling. So if you can give yourself enough time in the morning where you literally don't have to worry about rushing to a task, email, any of that stuff, and you just give yourself enough time, that'll just like by default, I think, like remove that pressure.
I think you're right.
On the flip side, I think for a lot of people, because what you're bringing up is like very common, where people feel like they're doing really well and then they have one bad day and it's like, fuck, I feel like a piece of shit. I'm like lazy and I'm like, I'm not doing anything, or I feel like garbage today. And so I don't know if you have, like how much you guys have looked into like masculine and feminine energy or any of like, or dynamics or any of that. But essentially if you think about masculine, and it's not necessarily gender, it's like, but like masculine is like,
I saw you post about this once. You're more feminine, aren't you?
Well,
with
so
the characteristics. I'll wait.
Yeah. So on the masculine side, think about like discipline, being rigid and like structured and just like, you know, that
Sid, hello, I'm a man.
And then the feminine side is like more free flowing, creative and expressive. And so for me, there like are a lot of parts to my personality that are very feminine in that way, in the feminine side. But when it comes to like my own habits, I'm very masculine.
Yeah.
And so I've always struggled with beating myself up and being overly critical of myself. And so that's something that I've had to deal with too. And even in the last year, even in like quarantine and stuff, when like everyone was like, or seemed like everyone was crushing it at home. Like
social media, another issue with that right there.
It's like, dang, I like didn't do anything today. I just sat at home, and it starts to creep in. So I had to like really wrestle with this. And the simple answer was like, it is as simple as introducing that feminine energy and being like, you know what? I'm like hyper masculine right now. Mm-hmm. I'm way too rigid. Like there's a time and a place for it, but like I need to like balance out the scales a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's okay to like fall off one day or 2 days, like just get back on. Like you can always like, there's always another train. Like there's always another opportunity to like get on and like move in a good direction. Whereas I think some people feel like if they lose it, well, that train's gone. They're never going to get another chance to like do better.
And just kind of like with fitness, like that's another analogy. Like you're on the wagon, you're working out every day, you're eating healthy. And then you have like 2 days where you're just shitty
cheat meals.
You just stop working out and people just want to give up, but you don't, you just get back on it the next day. So same idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just love this analogy. I can't stop.
I do too. It comes into our other realms.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting how people can lose themselves after 1, 2, even like 5 days. But even when you get sick or people who have had COVID, it's like you're down and out for at least 2 weeks and you can jump right back in when you're healthy, but you got to be healthy mentally. That it's mental health. It's physical health.
Didn't you have
COVID? I did have COVID. I was down and out for like at least, I mean, close to 3 weeks, I would say.
And then she fell in the shower and hurt her hip, and then she was down and out again.
Another week.
You guys are broken.
And now I'm broken. I'm a grandma.
She's got a back issue. But it's like, you don't need to hold yourself to such regimented, structured, you know, expectations of your own life. When if you feel good, for me, I don't even work out 6 or 7 days a week. I don't think anybody should.
Mm-hmm. I think I did, and now I have issues.
Yeah, see, I was going to say you overdo it, but it's like even three, maybe 4 days a week in exercise, whatever that looks like, if it's a walk or if it's lifting or if it's yoga or mindfulness, it's like you're going to feel way better. You don't have to hold yourself to such high standards all the time. You're human.
Yeah. Did you have any anxiety around COVID?
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, mostly what mine came from was... did I give it to anybody? Like my grandma, who's already had pneumonia, which is basically a death sentence if you had pneumonia already, being that she's also 85. And then the anxiety is built up of, am I actually going to be okay? Because when I had a fever one night of like 105, my feet swelled like huge and they were hot. Wow. And I was like profusely sweating and then shivering and sweating. And my thermometer broke, like basically like go in. It says something weird along those lines.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah. But they told me don't come in unless you can't breathe. So I was like, oh my God. Oh, I'm God. Like, am I going to actually be okay?
And then
okay?
you have a panic attack.
Yeah.
You
and then can't breathe. I start panicking. And when you feel so low and so like, I couldn't sleep because I felt so sick. I need sleep to get better. Here's another day, like day 6, that feels worse than day 5. Like I'm still going downhill. That's when you start to freak out. You're like, will I get healthier? Mm. It's a weird, your brain can be weird to you. And I just needed to accept it and like accept that this is going to be how it's going to be for a few weeks and I will get out of it. And literally mindset can change how you feel too. Mm. Like I was like, all of a sudden I'm like, mix in a water, get your Dayquil in, go on a walk, like literally around the living room as your movement of the day, literally, and have 5 mindful minutes. And even starting those things while I was sick, like gave me life again.
Mm, that's amazing.
Did you have COVID?
Knock on wood, not yet. Honestly, I was super sick back in March.
So like maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I got tested once, which was, that was a whole experience with the.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Up in the
did
brain.
Did you have to do it? Did you do it to yourself?
No.
Oh, I didn't either. Ooh. You had to do it to yourself.
I don't know if I trust myself doing that.
They literally they've sent it through the little conveyor belt at the CVS.
Oh my gosh.
And I in the little swabbers go up my nose and she's sitting there looking at me through the window like this. And I'm literally swabbing my nose, just tears streaming down my face because you're like up in your sinuses. Yep. And I'm like crying and she's looking at me and she's like nodding her head like, yep, you got it. You're getting it. More. I'm like, God,
get up there. Farther, lady.
Yeah. I'm like, geez.
Okay. Anyway, I do kind of want to circle back to, I know we've been talking about mental health in general, but I want to talk about males in general, because I feel like there's a type of, I guess like guys growing up, you know, they think they need to be strong, there's, what do they call it? Toxic masculinity.
Yep.
There's this Netflix series or Netflix documentary I watched. I wish I could remember the name.
You told me about that. What is
Did
it
I?
Called? Yeah.
We'll look
it up and we'll
but
post it.
It was about men growing up with this toxic masculinity, talking about how they can't express emotions, things like that. Do you think that plays into the fact that a lot of times men don't ask for help and that's like the suicide rates and
100%.
Yeah. So how would we go about as a society getting past this stigma of toxic masculinity?
More men speaking up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Like you.
Have you had people come to you and say,
say these things? I almost, I get a lot of DMs when I post about mental health, and a lot of
from
them
guys.
Are from men.
Yep. Really? Okay.
And I've had men come to our events and made friendships from these events that I do. And, yeah, it's been really inspiring. And I feel like the tide is turning a little bit. I feel like it's,
it has,
we're
it
starting
was,
to.
And maybe post mega, not to get too political, but like maybe post mega era, we might see an acceleration of like more of that.
Yeah.
Not saying that everyone in mega was like anti feelings, but like, I think, I feel like more men speaking up, is really powerful. And it like similar like to your friend that talked about the therapy thing and college situation, literally just like, it's like a ripple effect. Like it just takes a couple people to like
normalize that,
get it going.
Have you heard of Movember? It's a men's movement and it's about mental health for men. I've heard a lot about it recently. So I don't know. That's also something that people can look into. I think their Instagram is just Movember, but like their tagline is to be a man of more words.
Oh,
so,
I love that.
Kind of related to that too. So, and I like that because it's just for men and it's to have that support with other men that there are people experiencing this and you're not alone. So yeah, it's another cool little movement that, it has been started, but I think you're doing something really cool and meaningful. If you're getting DMs from guys saying like, dude, I'm dealing with this too. Like, I know, like, do you know how meaningful that probably is? Just that one person that messaged you, like you probably changed some lives and you don't even
I'm
know
sure
it.
You have. And just opening it up for people to be able to talk to you. You're trustworthy and your willingness to speak to them and meet them on a different level is huge.
Yeah, that's
like, it needs to be more people like you, really.
Thank you. Well, it's like important to me that, like I said before, like that nobody in my life or in my sphere ever feels like they don't have like a door out. Mm-hmm. Like I want everyone to feel like they always have something within their reach, whether that's a conversation, therapy, something. Like there's always something else. Like you don't have to feel alone. And
Andrew's struggling over there.
Yeah, so with the men that reach out, it's like a lot of times it's like, dude, like I literally go through this too. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. It's also kind of scary sometimes because I'm like, I'm not a therapist, but like,
yeah,
but I'll talk to you about.
But I think that's what attracts them to you is you're just like them. You're not a therapist, but you're a guy just like them. You deal with mental health issues, and I think that's what probably makes you stand out. Probably. That's why they're coming to you. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I think there needs to be like a paradigm shift. Like I think when I tell people or when I talk to people about it, it's like people need to, this is why the fitness analogies are so good, because when someone hears that, they're like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like I literally went for a run this morning. Like I can reimagine now what mental health is. It's not this like far out there thing. It's like this thing that's actually like part of being a human being, like running or doing yoga or eating well. Like it's just part of that too.
For sure. Should we ask our question?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
We ask every guest.
We ask every guest that comes on this question. So, and it seems like it fits this entire conversation the most. So, to keep things real and raw and candid on this podcast, we expose our insecurities and our weaknesses to continue to grow, but also show that being insecure about these things is universal to every human condition. Every experience is different, but we also have physical things that we're insecure about, emotional things that we're insecure about that, you know, span broadly. What are your biggest physical insecurity, or what's that one, and what is your biggest emotional insecurity? It's as the second part of that.
Biggest physical insecurity, I would say, is my voice.
Really?
Your voice?
Yeah.
Wait, why? I love your voice.
Thank you. I feel like I've always been like a soft-spoken person.
Oh.
And I don't know if people take that as like I can't like command a room or like but like sometimes it's hard. Really?
Because I feel like a lot of times people match your energy. So like, have you ever think of like a room in like high school when like the cool teacher would come out in front and he would just say something really chill. Everyone would shut up. Mm. Like I get this aura from you. It's like this energy that it's really chill. And like, I want to like be quiet and listen to what you're saying. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I think it's more so other people. Yeah. Not giving you the space to hold your own space. It's the respect that isn't there coming from people who are louder. Cause a lot of times the louder people in the room will get the attention, which isn't how it should be.
That's a good point. Emotional.
Okay, so we back that one up. So what's your emotional one? Let's hear.
It's definitely the fear of abandonment. Like that 100% that's affected me throughout my entire life. It's something that I've learned to grapple with and confront, even like as recently as this last year, like with relationships and stuff. Like it's always been there, and that's always like gonna be my like arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Well, I actually have a question. We were going to save it for another episode, but now it's a perfect transition into this because it has direct impact and conversation points to this. So someone sent in a DM and they said, how do you work to rebuild trust in yourself and in a new person / relationship after being cheated on or lied to or abandoned?
Ooh.
This person says, I've struggled with this from previous relationships and always working on ways to maintain trust in the current relationship so the past doesn't inhibit the present and the future. And we'll both talk to this, but I'd like to hear your...
We'll help you on this one. This is part of the candid cues that people write in. So we had to kind of relate back to our brand and relationship stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But what would you suggest to this person, especially in that abandonment piece?
Like how to approach a new relationship?
How to approach it, how to keep the old... relationships and that worry and out of your new life and your present life and relationships with other people. I guess even in more specific, how are you doing that?
Yeah. So a big thing that can help a ton is honestly communication. If you're with somebody new and you're afraid of your old, well, first and foremost, before you even get into a new situation, I highly recommend diving headfirst into your past and the trauma and really uncovering it, sitting with it, going through therapy. You good?
Yeah. My back is just killing me.
Back's bugging me.
And like confronting that, and you're not going to learn everything, but like learning enough and bringing an awareness, a level of awareness to your past, to the point where you can go into something new, be fully self-aware about where your kind of triggers are and what trauma you dealt with before, like actually naming it and like putting language to it as opposed to just like, oh, I got fucked over in the past.
Yeah.
Like actually like I got fucked over because someone who I thought loved me cheated on me or fill in the blank. Like you get very specific and like, okay. And then that led me to like feel this way because at some point, maybe when I was a kid, I was afraid of a bit like building that narrative ahead of time so that when you go into a new relationship, you're able to put language to it, communicate with your partner and be like, hey, just so you know, like I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But you just need to know, like, here are all my blind spots. Like I'm doing work. Like I'm going to continue to do work on them, but like, I'm going to give you like my cheat sheet almost.
Wow. It's
probably a bad pun. I'm going to give you like my cheat sheet. So you know what my triggers are and I'm not going to like you have to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
Like I'm not just going to use it as an excuse to like project on you be pissed or whatever and like take it out on you. I want you to know when I might be going down a bad path and like be able to help me in this journey back.
Wow. What it looks
and I
like.
Respect you enough to like give that to you.
I just got goosebumps.
Like, yeah. Communication I think is huge for sure. Like even so like the girl that I was with last year, we ended up parting ways because of both of our traumas.
Yep.
And then we ended up getting back together, and like, it's been night and day different. Cause like we both like did heavy work in the interim, and like now have this like level of awareness that is just like better than anything I've ever been in. Like, it's, we know each other and we know the triggers, we know the traumas, and we can speak to it, where it's like similar to like the spiraling thing of a panic attack. Mm-hmm. We're able to catch things before it turns into this like full blown, like crazy fight or something. Right. That's just that's like not before necessary. It blows up. Yeah. Does that help?
That does. It helps a ton. Wow. It helps a ton.
Probably the best answer I've ever heard. That was beautiful.
I feel like you nailed all the pieces that I was even going to touch on because that, wow. People are going
to. Anything else to add?
I mean, you kind of touch on every single thing.
Is that a mic?
No, yeah. Seriously.
Mic drop.
But no, having that communication piece up front, I would say knowing that you're not lesser because you've got things that you need to work on. I think the minute you walk into a relationship and feel like you're lesser, people can sense that lowered energy level, and don't, you know, you're not even opening yourself up to be connected with. So you're losing that piece right there. And then you'll feel like you're lower and you'll continue to push yourself down.
And you got to see the new person as like a new person.
Exactly.
Like you can't, it's like, and this is where it's a challenge for people, but I really would love to push people in the direction of when you're going into something new, that new person does not deserve to have all the baggage thrown at them and being painted as your past.
Mm-hmm.
This is not fair. It's not the foundation that you're going to want for something new. That's like, and so have the respect to like, just be honest and vulnerable about your past. And then like work on your first reaction being like, this person is not the old person.
Exactly.
This person is not that.
I would say before you react, ask a question. For instance, if somebody is giving you a bit of insecurity in whatever you're doing, ask the question first, like, who is this person who, for example, like commented on your photo, is that a friend? And just be like, my ex and I struggled with social media. I was cheated on, so I felt hurt in that way. I felt the need to ask the question. I'm not implying anything, but just it makes me feel better when we can talk it out.
Yeah.
And then there's no harm, no foul, because you are just being honest. You didn't assume anything. You're asking a question. And if they react in an odd way, I think there's pieces that they need to be working on too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's extremely liberating in relationships when you can be like radically honest. Like when you can, but not even like in like a dumb, like shallow way, in a way like what you just said, where it's like, hey, like I have struggled with this in the past, or I've got like an issue here and it's bringing up some feelings, and like I just literally just want to ask straight up, and like I'm not going to be attached to any way or the other, but I just want to ask and be honest. And then the person's like, oh, thank you so much for being like actually honest about that.
Yeah. Also, even separate from that, is you got to give yourself time to heal before you jump into something new.
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest piece, because I hate to say this, but it's like, stop feeling bad for yourself, because everybody has baggage and issues that they've gone through. And the minute you're like, yeah, that happened to me, but that was not my problem. You know what I mean? Like that, or maybe it was my problem. Maybe I made mistakes in a relationship, but I've gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new person. I'm growing. So what? You beat yourself up more than anybody else is going to. So you need to get over that, and you need to process that and move on from it before you invite somebody new in. So
yeah, love that.
Yeah. Antonio, wow.
I didn't have much to say about that one, but you guys killed it.
Antonio, this has been seriously like life changing for myself. Yeah. So if I know you
such
can.
Such a helpful conversation, I think, for a lot of people that are going to listen to this. So yeah,
and hearing from a male's perspective is amazing.
Before we wrap up, is there any questions you have for us? Anything in general you want to touch on before we,
like any last point
before
that you
we for
on?
Sure mic drop.
I was gonna ask you, Sophie, about you and I had a conversation in the summer about like the topic of pills and like medication.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah,
and I forgot.
Like, I'm curious, like if you're still doing that, and like if you've gotten flack from people before, and like what that looks like. 'Cause like for those out there, like I am pro anyone do whatever you need to do in your toolkit to like recognize that there's another tomorrow.
Yeah.
But like for you, like that's something we talked about in the summer. Like, how are you doing?
Yeah. So me and Sid, we did talk about this in our previous podcast. We talked a lot about the medication aspect of it. I am still on anti-anxiety medication, but we did talk about the importance of building your toolkit with behavioral strategies to make sure you know the basis of trying pretty much everything else before you go on the pills, just because, to be honest, like, I know you said pills might be a short-term fix, but for my family and the people that I know that are on them, it is technically a long-term fix. They're on it for the long term. Mm-hmm. So that's why we think it's important to have that toolkit of all those strategies that, you know, we've been talking about. Grateful, the, what do you call the morning pages?
Yep.
Three pages?
Yep.
Morning pages, meditation, being mindful. And I think that's just as important. But I've gone off them a few times and I can't sleep. I can't function. I'm not myself. I am on a very, very, very low dose, but it's just enough to kind of help me function. So
it's for you. It's for nobody else.
And yeah.
When we've said in the past that they might be a temporary fix for myself, they were given as a temporary fix for my dad. It's a forever fix.
Yeah.
So when we say those things, they're mm-hmm. not for everyone. It's not a generalization.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a for who it is. Mm. So yeah, you don't.
Yeah, that's good. I think the last thing would be just in like, how are you guys doing? Like yeah. right now, like I know yeah. like with the election just happened, it's been a wild year. Like I always, and like I, for those people out there, next time you're getting coffee, literally ask the barista, like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. I do that.
And I like the way you ask it. You're not like, hey, what's up? How are you? It's like, how are you doing?
Like yeah, you better like, tell
don't
me.
Bullshit me. Yeah. Like, how are you doing? You know, like
more people need to ask that.
Yeah.
Just ask someone today, if you're listening, how are you doing? Actually, I
for
think that's a good,
for real. Like make some answer.
You just came off COVID. Like, how are you hanging in there?
I feel pretty good. My plate is probably too full right now. So that's something that I'm trying to deal with. I've got a new job and new things in my life. And still trying to juggle relationships on top of that, like dating someone, friendships post-college, friendships from home, mm-hmm. you know, like being 23 and some of my friends getting married and then being 23 and some friends like single. It's like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. If I had to put one word on it, I would say I'm overwhelmed right now and I'm working on that and I'm conscious of it. So that's at least yeah. good. But, not every day is a good day. I would say most days are good. And then I'll have like three bad in a row every single month, you know? So,
and I think it's important that you're honest with that too. Mm-hmm. Like me and Sid are pretty open about, hey, how are you doing today? I'll literally apply. I'm anxious as hell. Like yep. I don't feel good. Sid does the same thing. And I think that's also helpful because we acknowledge each other's feelings. And always. I think more people need to do that instead of just being like, yeah, dude, I'm good today. What's up? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, you're super vocal about it,
yeah.
which is really good. I yeah. think that like that, whatever the other day was when you like had that $20.
Oh,
you,
oh yeah. Like $36 to park your car at Target because you lost your timestamp.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, some days I don't post on social media about how I'm feeling, but some days I do. And some days they're happy. And some days I literally show that I'm crying because of a $36 ticket. So
you're human.
I am vocal about it and I'm open about it. And honestly, I've never been, I've never regretted it.
No one, no one's ever told yeah. you to stop. And that's what people have to understand.
Thanks for the Venmo, by the way.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I can't. I just have a horrible day.
You guys, I actually had to delete that video because I kept getting money and I had to send it back. Oh. Yours was the first. So
you
I
are the
yours.
Only
Thanks,
person
Antonio.
With this problem. Only person. No, I appreciate you asking good questions back to us. Those are really, really good questions.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I think that this year has been wild. I think that there's been a lot of uncertainty in the world and it's palpable. But I think I'm feeling really confident about the future yeah. right now. Like it might seem like the world is going to explode, but I have a feeling that the next 4 years, like I always tell people, I'm like really excited for just politically speaking, 2024. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking towards that. And like, I'm going to be like, I have some stuff that I'm working on right now, just Ooh. Like that. I'm going to drop here pretty soon that like, I'm really excited about.
Oh,
and
excited
so there's like some things that like,
Can't wait to hype you up.
They're coming. Yeah. We can't wait to support you and be there and do it all. And we'll share to our people, everybody listening to, we'll share all of Antonio's events that we have access to now. Not and then when the others come, we'll share those too. But
so plug yourself. Where can people find you?
At Antonio Sundquist. That's SUNDQUIST. I always have to spell it. on Instagram and everything else.
Watch his stories. They're really helpful.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people, maybe not surprised, but so many people come up to me and be like, dude, I get all my news from you. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to be,
I don't want to be the guy that lends.
But in that context, that I mean, I'm working on something right now, kind of behind the scenes that like plays into that a little bit. So excited for that.
We're excited. To come.
Excited.
Yeah. Well, Antonio, thank you for being here.
Yeah,
thank you for being open to us.
Yeah.
And sharing your story.
Yeah. And guys, follow us on at Straight Candid Podcast on Instagram. And as always, thanks to Back Pocket Boys and the cute Andrew behind the camera.
As always, they make this happen with us, alongside us. We appreciate you, Antonio. We appreciate you most.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Hey.